Johnny on the road.
Yeah, years ago I used to be addicted to drugs, and I hung out with a lot of prostitutes, and I know how they do make their own hours. They usually work whenever they want. Here in Connecticut, actually, there are pimps, but there's a lot more freelancers.
You call them
free agents. Yeah,
yes.
Girls that pretend that they have a pimp, but really they don't, and that usually scares guys into not doing anything if you think there's like a pimp in the hotel room across the hall.
Gotcha.
Not.
Oh,
it's an illusion. Yeah.
And they work whenever they want. There's in parts of Waterbury, there's like the open air market prostitutes where they're walking down the street. You roll up to them, ask them how much. And there's like places like that in Waterbury, but there's a lot more back pages where you call a number in the back of the newspaper. And then they say, do you want an in or an out? And an in means you want to go to a hotel to get the prostitute. And out means you want the prostitute to come to your house.
You mentioned you hung out with a lot of with the prostitutes. What did most of them want to achieve out of life? Was it money for drugs, or did any of them want to go
drugs.
To school and, you know,
just
become
money
somebody?
For drugs.
Just drugs. Okay.
Money for drugs. All
right.
Of them. Because the people I hung out with were younger. They were mostly like in their 20s, and people that age kind of, that's not their choice in life. They didn't set out to sell their bodies when they were younger.
Gotcha.
They just got into a real bad situation. But a lot of them, I know people, they would, they kind of do make their own hours. Some of them, even ones I knew with a pimp, would take some time off, and then the pimp would be calling them like crazy, like, come on, you got to make money, like, come on. And they'd be like, no, I'm not doing that right now. And some people will take like a year off and go back to it. And it really just kind of coincides with like how much drugs they want, is how much you sell your body.
If you take time off, they have to find a fill-in for you. Like, say I want Tuesday off at, you know, in the afternoon shift.
Yeah, like,
I'll get
I have
somebody
to
else
give
to fill in for me.
I would think you have to tell your clients, like, hey, I'm going to take this week off.
Right.
So,
you're going to have Nancy this week.
But Nancy is very
it's
capable.
Mostly,
right. You'll
mostly
love Nancy.
Anonymous.
Right.
It's mostly anonymous. Like, usually the Johns that would call, they would not call, like, the same number twice usually. Like, you'd never see – the girls would never see, like, the same guy more than once usually. Some guys would actually call to be, like, try to work around. If they had a pimp, they'd try to work around that, be like, here, take my number, and then, like, I'll pay you, and you keep all the money and
right.
stuff. But, like, that happens a lot. But other than that, it's usually just anonymous. You never see the guy again. And it's a lot like AJ said. It's a lot like DoorDash. It's just, like, if you want to do the work, you can do it. And if you don't, you just, you know.
Wait, click in, click out.
You're not making any money then. Yeah.
There's a lot of other people out there selling their bodies that are, you know, if there's a guy out there that wants to find someone, it's not hard.
Out of curiosity, how much can a good prostitute make in one evening?
Okay, well, the top of the line, I knew one girl. She was 17 years old, and she was very, 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 very attractive. I mean, I was 17 at the time, too. But she was extremely attractive, like a girl you rarely see as a prostitute. And she would bring home, back then, she would get like $3,000 a night.
Whoa.
But that's, then, you know, older people, you know, could be bringing home a lot less. Kind of goes by your
right, yeah, by your physique.
Darwin
yeah,
survival of the fittest.
Right,
you know, who's the most attractive.
It is all of it's bad.
In the case of you want,
but I could see the, you know, the pricing structure. I understand.
Right, yeah, but the older guys, when a guy was just homesick, not horny.
It's like that in life, if you think about it.
Yeah,
that you're willing to put up with more from a hot person.
Yes.
And this applies to men, women,
yes,
whoever.
It does, yes.
Okay? You're willing to put up more if the person's hot.
Right.
Whether it be money or just aggravation.
All of it. Whatever it takes.
In a relationship.
Yep, stress.
Whether it be sexual for minutes.
Right.
Or long-term down the road.
Right. Life.
You're willing to put up with more. Money or aggravation.
Just for that privilege.
Depending on their level of hotness.
Yes.
And hot people know this.
Yes, they do.
I could get away with a lot because I'm hot.
Right, and they flaunt it, yes.
And when you're not, you have to be kind of polite because,
yes,
you know,
right,
you're dealing with yourself.
Right.
I
agree. I agree.
We're all products.
Yep, we are. It's all how you sell yourself.
What is like the average? Is there a rate established or is everybody different?
Right.
Everybody's different. I mean, it's what you want to do. You're like Chaz yourself. Like, let's say someone came up to you and said, "I want to buy your body," and then you yourself would be, "What am I willing to sell my body at?" You yourself make that price. It's all up to you.
What's the lowest price you ever heard of?
Like $5-$10 in crack houses with like really older sketchy lady.
$5 or $10. You could buy a Subway.
I mean, it wasn't for $5. It wasn't for $5. It was like a trade for a $5
right,
crack house.
Like, right. Chicken.
No, it's, you know, we're not making fun here.
No.
It's a life that's, this is happening.
Exactly.
All over the world. We're just exploring it.
Right. And be safe. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Huh. Did not know.
Wow, all different rates. How do you, let's just say you're a higher end person. How do you find the higher end people?
Is there a certain street?
You got to, well, the girl I knew, she found that, but yeah, you're not going to Willow Street for that. She knew a pimp, it was a female pimp, through a drug dealer. She actually knew it was her drug dealer's girlfriend was a female pimp, and she knew some, like, I guess she was a prostitute when she was younger that evolved into a female pimp.
She was a madam.
Yeah, more like a manager.
She knew a lot of like connections to high, like rich guys in like Cheshire and like Farmington and Greenwich. She knew people like that.
Wow.
Wow.
Huh. So complicated.
Well, we should take your number because we need to have you in our book as an expert.
Yes.
In case we ever have
to. Yeah, you can take my number down. My name's, I use a fake name, but. Right.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We need your help naming this segment. you know, Al in the Shed and his ex, Laura.
Yes.
We need like some kind of a sitcom name or something.
Right.
You know? Like Shedfeld.
Ooh, I like that. Oh, these people.
The Shedsons.
What else?
The Shedsons.
The Shedsons?
The Shedsons.
The Shedsons.
Right. Shedstones.
Three's Company. Because you got Al.
Right.
Right, you have his ex, Laura.
Right.
And then his wife.
Current wife.
His current wife.
Right.
That's Three's Company. Come and knock on the shed.
Come and knock on the shed. We've been waiting for you.
There's a funnel for you.
There's a funnel for you. Al in the Shed's on the phone now. Good morning.
I would call it Shed Misfits. Misfits in the Shed.
Misfits in the Shed.
Don't call the Shed Fits something.
We kind of want to name it after a popular sitcom.
The Shed Fits sounds like something you get after you get bitten by like an exotic bug. I have the Shed Fits.
Oh my God. I had a burrito. I got the Shed Fits.
Oh, my cat had the Shed Fits.
This isn't the Jerry Springer show, so we got to call it the Moron Show.
Right.
Or the Misfits Show.
There's South Park, Shed Park.
Shed Park. No.
We have a South Park down the street with a shed in it.
Okay.
Over by the river. It's a nice little gazebo, whatever.
We call
it South Park.
We need a sitcom. We need to name it after a sitcom with a really good theme song that we can make a parody of.
Shed, maybe?
What is it?
Full Shed instead of Full House.
Full Shed.
Full Shed.
Yeah. Shed House.
You know, you shed house often will be at 7:30 in the morning. I just get up and just come to my shed and sit and listen to you guys. Leave me alone, I tell everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, Laura, I know you're on hold. We're going to get to you in a second. Hold on. Brain?
Redneck Living, and AJ's got to do a little parody song for it.
What is it?
Redneck Living.
Redneck Living.
Redneck Living.
Hmm.
No, we're not rednecks.
Yeah, no.
You're not rednecks?
They're not rednecks, no.
Shedneck.
Right, shednecks.
All right, later, guys.
All right.
Shednecks.
Shednecks.
It's not bad.
So Al, every morning, goes into his shed, which is set up like a man cave. It's got multiple refrigerators for beer.
Right.
It's got a toilet that's a funnel with a hose that leads out to the yard.
Right.
Just the yard.
Am I missing anything, Ruth? You've been there.
It's the backyard. It goes into the gravel in the back of the shed.
He has a mouse gun.
Oh, how about Al's anatomy?
The mouse gun?
The mouse gun. Right.
Right.
Al's anatomy.
How many chainsaws did you have? Three?
How many what?
Chainsaws.
Chainsaws.
Three.
Yeah. Three. Gotcha.
I got one in the back seat of my truck right now.
Right.
Because you never know.
No, I got to do some work for companies in the backyard after I finish doing this deck.
John, you have a name for this sitcom?
Yeah, Al's Full of Shed.
Al's Full of Shed.
Oh, we're writing that one down.
Right, the shed house, Al's Full of Shed, yeah.
Full of Shed.
Nice.
Al's Full of Shed, thank you. Al's Full of Shed.
Yes.
All right, guys.
All right, hold on.
I was going to say, where's the queen at?
Yeah, we're gonna conference her in a second.
Where's
here.
The queen, nice.
Kim and Madison, what do you think?
I got the Sheds of Life instead of the Facts of Life.
Sheds of Life.
The Sheds of Life.
It's very good. These right. are all great. I don't think there's a loser here.
No, so far so good, yeah.
Sheds of Life.
Right.
Nate has a great theme song that we can make a parody yeah. of.
Shed Lasso.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's Married a good with one. Exes.
Guys.
This is so great.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
Shed King said Tulsa King.
Eric in Oxford.
All in the Shed.
All in the Shed.
All in the Shed, like All in the Family. That's right. A great theme song, too. Let me write that.
That would be a great theme song.
That's a
Al
great
would
theme
song. Sing that one.
Yeah, Al would have to sing it.
Yes. Right. Only he would do justice, yes.
All right, so we're going to tease this episode now of Al in the Shed. We're going to just call it Al in the Shed for now. With Laura. Laura.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Al.
That's how every episode should start.
Yes.
Hello.
Right.
Al.
Al. All right, so tease this episode. Just give us a one-sentence preview of what you're about to tell us.
What I'm going to tell you is we were not together when he brought that stripper home.
Perfect. Okay. Okay. We haven't figured out a name for this sitcom here that stars Al in the Shed and right. his ex, Laura.
The Misfits are back.
No, it needs to be All in the Shed.
All right, how about Shed's
All
Creek?
All in the Shed?
Shed's Creek.
Yeah.
Just Shed me? My name is Al.
I like Al in the Shed. Isn't that just fine? It's been like that for how long?
Oh, everybody loves Shed Hog.
Oh, yeah.
Al in the Shed. Al in the Shed. Set All in the Shed.
All right. So, Laura, bring us through this episode. What happened?
Okay. Well, he brought home this stripper from Texas because him and his wife moved to Texas to get away from me, I guess.
Okay.
And he comes back without the wife. With a stripper, and the stripper's face tattooed on his arm. And they come back, and I'm at a friend's house, and they come in, and I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. And I told the girl, I was like, no, he doesn't like you. He don't care about you. And she went crying, and she left by the next morning, and she was gone. She was flying back to Texas.
Wow, that's some welcome wagon, huh?
But she's still on his arm.
Right. Well, yeah. Ain't going to go anywhere.
And my name's on her. In fact, my name's on a couple of girls, except for Laura and my wife.
Yeah. Well, she these long-term relationships that we supposedly had, these two long-term relationships out. Oh, I've only had two long-term relationships. Yeah, okay.
Well, she probably tattooed I hate over your name.
Wait, so you... I hear grumbling.
Yeah, because he doesn't know what to say.
Gotcha.
You guys were together from what year to what year?
Oh, I don't know.
1980 to... I got married in 1998. So I was with my husband for 5 years. Well, 3 years before that, so... So me and Al were on and off, like for 15 years, on and off.
All right, from 1980 to like 1995?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also worked for Allied Van Lines, and I used to go on the road all the time.
Right.
And I'd be gone for a month at a time.
I knew this was coming up.
Moving America.
I hitchhiked to Florida, and he tried looking for me, and I wouldn't, like, answer. He was on the CV radio trying to find me, and I wouldn't have the truck driver's cell. I was like, don't tell him where I'm at. Don't tell him where I'm at.
What was your handle on the CB radio, Al?
Handyman.
Handyman. I guess Cap was taken.
Is that because you also had a funnel system in the cab?
Right. Right at the vent window, yeah.
Did you name yourself after the James Taylor song?
No, I do a lot of side jobs. I'm still doing them, actually.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
That's your work, right?
But actually, I'm slowing down because of my leg and my back. But I'm doing easy things. I work about 4 hours a day. I say, listen to you guys at 10 o'clock, and I probably go to work around 11. Wow. But don't worry, until I got my radio, I'm still listening to you.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
You up here fixing my wall.
How did you meet Laura?
I picked him up on the corner.
Do you have a sign saying for sale?
I think it had something to do with a couple of beers and taking a ride.
$1 bill.
Right, were you a prostitute, Al?
Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, what is going on?
What corner was this, and Al, what were you doing on it?
He was coming out of a store. He had two beers in his hand, and I said, is one of those for me? Remember, I was 15.
Yes.
And he's like, you got money for gas? I was like, I got $5, so I bought the gas, and he had the two beers. So I put the gas in his car, and we went for a ride, and I had a beer.
How old were you, Al?
30.
When she said 20, I knew how old I was exactly, I'm afraid to say.
Okay, she was 15, and you were breaking the law.
Breaking the law.
You're drinking a beer while driving.
She forced me, though.
I like how he started negotiating immediately.
Yeah,
right?
Girl says, one of those beers for me.
Yeah.
You got any gas money?
Right.
Immediately went right into negotiation.
The whole barter system, yeah.
Well, back in that day, $5 to buy you a gallon of gas and $5, I mean, in a six pack. So we said, get it
$5, you'd buy half a tank of gas, Al.
Yeah.
Then we go down to Seaside Park or Bearsley Park or something. Yeah, we go cruising around.
How long from the moment that you saw Al on the corner with two beers to the moment that you guys were intimate?
Not long.
End of the beer?
What is not long?
Day.
What's that? Was it that day?
Say.
The next day?
Nice.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Al's got amnesia.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Like that day?
Maybe.
It's okay. You're drinking during the daylight. So
yeah, it's all,
it happens.
No,
okay.
No way it was the same day.
Why do you say that, Al?
You were too drunk?
You just said you don't remember. Now you say it was not that day.
You don't remember.
Because I was still with my wife.
Oh.
What's that mean, Al? That didn't stop you from doing anything.
I love this show. This is my favorite show.
This is my favorite show.
Yeah.
That's how it all started.
Hi, Al.
No, you were a whole bag before that.
Al, were you ever a hoe bag?
No.
Yes, I
was loyal to my friends unless I was on the road.
Unless you were on the road.
Right. Once I have a sentence,
which was every day in that car,
right.
You were out looking for something.
No, when I was with in the vans.
Van.
You want me to start
He had a rolling van. He had a rolling shed.
Yep.
Vehicles.
Yeah.
I used to go back to California all the time and spend some time up there and come back to Connecticut. Go back again. Yeah.
California, yeah. But he used to have lots of girlfriends here in Connecticut. He would take me fishing, and then there would be another girl that would show up when we were fishing. And he's like, just pretend you're my friend. I'm like, why?
How about I don't even know you?
No, we would go on our motorcycles, me and my buddy and her, bring our fishing poles. And I don't know how this chick found us, but she found us. I used to tell my buddy, hey, pretend Laura's with you, not with me.
Right.
and they would.
And then the three of us, me, his wife, and this girl, were like, which one do you want? And he was sleeping at home, and we were kicking the bed. We're like, Al, you better figure this shit out. Oh, excuse my language.
Figure this stuff out, yes.
Better figure this stuff out.
Figure this stuff out.
Well, all three of them were standing in my room at the same time.
Wow. It's like a nightmare.
Yeah, it was.
She's like, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
Oh, God. I hope this is a dream. I'm going back to sleep to find out.
Okay, that concludes this episode.
Best show ever.
Best nice. Show ever.
Wow, can't wait for the next episode.
All right, Al in the Shed and Laura, thank you.
Okay, guys, that's all a right. Good one.
You too. I love them.
Wow.
All right, what do I need to know to officiate a wedding? It's a long list of things.
Yes, it is.
Yes, a long list of things. You have to be steady, too. You can't, you know, you have to
I have to be steady?
Yeah, you can't be, you know, rocking back and forth like you're nervous
can't bop.
And everything. No, you can't bop.
Hold on, that's a good one. Right. Let me write that down.
At that moment.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, yeah. 99.1 PLR. Dawn Snell, the Reverend Dr. Dawn Snell in studio. Okay, be steady.
Right. Yeah, be steady.
So
be
one
steady.
Shot to heal.
Because not only are they watching the couple, but they're watching you also.
Right.
Because you're the one who is declaring. You are the one who's setting the moment that this is going to be a sealed moment.
Okay.
And you have to be steady.
Steady.
Be
yeah, steady.
Steady.
You can't be.
I can't be moving around
moving
too much.
Around and bopping.
Be steady.
You know, you can give them a little joke every now and then, but you got to make sure everything's in order. You have to make sure, even though you may go through a rehearsal, whatever, but they must follow you. You have everything lined up.
Wow.
All right, what's da-da-da-da-da-da? Let's go through da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What is da-da-da-da-da-da-da?
Oh, are you offering, you're offering a prayer or, you know, do you have a particular, like, story, scripture?
I welcome everybody.
Cool. Welcome.
Okay. On this auspicious Done. Occasion.
Auspicious. How do you spell that?
A-U-S.
Yeah, make sure it's auspicious.
P-I-C-I.
P-I-C-I.
Yeah, make sure it's not suspicious.
That would be hysterical if I screwed up. I was like, welcome everybody on this suspicious occasion.
Mess everybody up.
Like, wait, what? Suspicious?
Off to a good start.
Okay, then we got to use another word because he just might say
suspicious. Yeah, that's not a word I've ever said. Auspicious.
Yeah, smaller word than you actually use.
Auspicious occasion. This day that has been set forth from the beginning of time. I'm so honored as this is my great niece. Her name, and this is someone that I've grown to know as a man.
Can you open with like, well, let's
grown
get this,
to know.
Can you open with, well, let's get this over with?
No, AJ.
While we're here,
you can't do that.
Sure,
this is the special moment.
I pay more
moment.
Attention.
No. That was a fast and firm no.
That was fast.
No, AJ.
I'm so used
AJ.
To that, though.
No, AJ. No, we're doing things decently and in order.
Right.
Okay. Because Fine. This is a day.
I was Fine. Thinking the ring box should have those like snakes that jump. Out.
Nice. Nice.
Open the ring box. It's like,
you know what? I think, where the wedding? I think I better show up so I can be a substitute. Okay, because
she's
you in
my
a
backup.
Whole other venue. You up there setting them up. They might have to go for counseling afterwards.
She puts you in a chokehold that finishes.
No snakes coming out of a box. Okay.
Fine.
No, we can't do that.
I like what she just said as an opening line. No, AJ, we're doing things decently and in order.
You know, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that.
AJ, I love that.
You sit up there.
Yeah, you're over there.
I won't be anywhere near any of this.
No,
it's okay.
Please don't.
It's okay.
Because I can see you in the audience.
It's okay.
Okay.
But the parking lot's anybody's place. Look, I'm getting over here. No, I'm good.
She's right about people looking at you, though. You're going to wind up in way more pictures than you realize, even.
All right. One of the things that the bride has asked me to do, and it's brilliant, is when I say, you know, you may now kiss the bride, step aside.
Yes.
So they get that picture.
It's just them.
Just them.
Yes.
Just them.
Nice.
Yeah.
See?
And you know what?
She
that
knows.
Is, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to be standing there rolling your eyes.
Because I'm in.
Looking at my watch.
I can't.
What the hell?
Ladies and gentlemen, I do not know these two. Okay? I'm meeting them
today,
for the first time.
Today.
And they are like setting me up.
Today.
Okay? Setting me up.
Today.
No, now you know what I want to do. Now I want to be in the picture.
Nice.
Now I want to be in the picture. I want to like be like
be
shocked.
Right
like,
there.
Or photobomb.
Like surprise.
Photobomb.
Yeah, right. Photobomb.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I'm done.
She's
done,
quitting.
I'm done.
Hold on. Photobomb.
Right, okay. When the pictures start, just throw all your papers in the air.
Right. Like, yeah, like.
Like graduation.
Yeah, right.
Where do you get the graduation cap from?
You're so sick.
It's your marriage license.
Oh, my God.
Now, what do you mean papers? I should have papers?
Aren't you going to read off of, like, cards or something?
I was going to freestyle.
Nice.
You're gonna freestyle?
All right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right. AJ's coming. He's going to do the beat.
I'll beatbox.
Ladies and gentlemen, audience, again, Reverend Dr. Dawn C. Snell does not know these two people. And I think when I leave here, I will not know these two people.
We do have a rear entrance in case you want to get out of here quietly.
I'll be officiating Corey and Tyler's wedding. I'm very, very excited. It's a great honor.
Yes.
Okay, so ring box with popping snakes and then photobomb.
Right, photobomb. Roll the eyes.
And when they, you know. When
so
you
be steady. That's very good advice.
Yes.
You have to be steady. And also, you need to be aware of.
Be aware.
Of who's in the room. Okay, because. What I noticed is that people tend to be like focused on the wrong thing when everything is going on. So you have to make sure you bring everybody together in that moment. Maybe by a statement, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, you know what Emerald does when he's doing the cooking show and people start to fade? He goes, bam!
Bam!
Right.
No!
If they start, all right, hold on. Let me write this down. Bam,
bam.
All right.
You need your own catchphrase.
So if I see a couple eyes drifting, I'm gonna go bam.
Right.
No.
You need your own catchphrase. That's his.
Maybe I need my own.
Yo, bomb.
Yeah, because you know what? He might come after you for trademark.
Oh, that's right.
Situation.
I have to pay. Yeah.
Right.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And if all cell phones and all electronic devices, can you please? Turn them off because this is about the couple. This is about the moment of joining two together.
No, you got luck to us.
I got to tell you something about this. So we had a lot of time on the phone last night about this very subject. And it was, you know, I had something I was going to say about cell phones. And I was talking to the couple and they've been to a lot of weddings and they say they hear, you know, that person comes out and says that, but the phones still come out.
Yep.
You have to make sure you say it so that it's off of your hands. You said it, and if somebody's phone go off, everybody looks at, did he not say?
Right.
Turn off or turn down. He said it.
What right.
So the groom, they could be embarrassed.
Now, you guys act like you're the people.
Okay.
Okay, you're all the people.
Piece of crap, piece of crap, piece of crap.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated.
No,
please, please. Oh, you're that person.
I'm that person. Okay.
Okay.
She looked disruptive.
Please be seated.
Okay.
The ceremony is about to begin. The couple has asked me to ask you to turn your cell phones off. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're going to sneak a photo or a bit.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
What did he not say?
You are that person.
That was a signal to the groom.
Okay, people, you're on your own.
Right.
I'm leaving.
No.
No,
you got to walk in. You got to get somebody. Cell phones down. Close the doors.
No, what I was going to say is, all right, all cell phones off. Please repeat after me.
All cell phones off.
No.
Okay. No pictures during the ceremony. Repeat after me.
No pictures during the ceremony.
Oh, that's one.
I was surprised to hear that people would hear no cell phones, but still use their cell phones.
Right.
The groom said to me last night, he says, it pains me. I'm at someone else's wedding. It pains me to see all these cell phone screens.
Yeah. Right.
It's very distracting.
How about a GoPro?
the officiant, very distracting because you are looking out and all you see is cell phones up taking a picture.
Oh.
And the ceremony has not even started yet. They have walked down the aisle.
All right.
Okay. They're facing you. And then all the wedding party is facing there, and they're looking like, did he not say to turn down your phones and put them down?
Okay, I got an idea.
Okay.
Okay.
We got.
You have an idea?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. What if he makes an example of one person?
Tase.
Right.
That's what I was going to say.
Nice.
It tase him. Boom. we hire an actor.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Yes.
To pull a phone.
A stuntman.
A stuntman.
Yes.
And then I just pull out a taser. Bam.
Right. Where's Vince Barry?
That's what's going to happen.
Well, you, Vince.
Guess he's not going to make it to the cocktail hour. Should have listened when I said no cell phones.
What do you think?
No, you can't deny it'd be effective.
Right.
You can't do the
taser. A bunch of guys grab and throw him into a trunk somewhere.
Oh, I like this taser.
Oh, awesome.
This is
going to
be the best wedding ever.
You got to give the taser a name like the Wrath of God or something like that.
Right. Jesus Jr.
Oh, boy. See, the taser could come out. When the part where you get, you know, you start the ceremony and you've introduced yourself, you know, you're just so honored. This is your great niece and whatnot. And this could not happen to a better person, a better couple. And then
this is all good. Hold on. Let me write that down. Okay. Go ahead.
Can you just write out for him?
The part that says, you know, where you say, if anyone has aught, why this couple should not be brought together, this union should occur, speak now or forever hold your peace. That's when the taser should come out.
Right.
Because
that's
if anybody gets up, you're like, I can't believe you did that. Zap!
Right. Should that be a bad time to get
zap!
Right now?
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me.
Oh, I love it.
Oh.
You know, and then everybody will then take up notice and be nice while they're waiting for the rest of the wedding.
Do you say that in your ceremony now?
I let them know that normally at this point in time, after I do a prayer, after I introduce myself and I explain, you know, that why we're here, I say, normally you would hear, if anyone has any aught why these two should not be married, speak now, forever hold your peace. And I tell them, I do not say that because as far as I'm concerned, you have more than enough time.
Right.
Okay. To handle it if you felt they shouldn't be married.
Yeah, we're not dealing with your problem now.
Okay. You know, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I don't even know why that was put in a wedding ceremony. Right.
It's not about you. At this moment, it's too late. I agree.
It's like, no, you don't. If you could stop it all the way. Hey, someone could speak all the way till they get to the altar or to the place of exchanging their vows.
I yelled, the child's not
but
his.
But do not do it during the ceremony. This is not your day. This is not your day. You don't show up.
I'd be afraid of you. Seriously. If you said, this is not your day, I would pee myself.
Oh, man, I just don't know myself.
Listen, Jesus loves me. This I know.
No,
all
you're...
I got to do is beat them up, and I got my oil, and afterwards I just snap them. You know? No, we will not be doing that because, what? We'll have an exorcism right there.
Nice.
No, you won't do that. You come talk to me afterwards. Well, I'll handle you.
She'll find you.